Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
Everyone, welcome back to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast in the wake of season 5 finishing up for the year or the season or however long it is until we get season 6. This is our podcast's 126th episode, episode 126 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and today we're going to be talking about all of the season 6 news and theories that we know so far, like straight off the bat, what they're ready to tell us right at the close of season 5. So Karen and I have been, you know, thinking about this for the last couple of weeks. You know, there's been a few interviews to come out. You know, there's always sort of close of season interviews with, you know, the creators and cast. So that's what we're going to be doing today before we sort of get into some more hiatus episodes that are a bit more nonsensical or not quite as on topic as what's happening in the actual canon of the show right now. So Karen and I'm your host Natalie, that's your host Karen over there. Hello Karen.
Are you pointing to me?
Yeah. I was. Look. There she is over there in your other ear. You can hear her on the other side. We'll be going through this today. Karen conducted an interview herself with Jeff Davis, the showrunner, at the end of the season, so we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about what happened at the end of season 5 and just the other press that's come out since then and the news from the set, basically. So if you want to get in touch with us at all, you can do that to talk about, you know, how you're feeling about Teen Wolf at the moment. You can reach us on our Twitter, which is NATW Podcast. You can reach us on our Gmail, which is natwpodcast@gmail.com. Our Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can follow us on Instagram, which is natwpodcast as well. You can also comment on the Hyperbull posts about Teen Wolf, where we host the podcast, our parent website. Any of the articles on Teen Wolf are, you know, usually put out by Karen, and the podcast episodes are posted by us there as well. So that is where you can communicate with us, and we can read your thoughts on the podcast if they seem on topic. All right. Sorry, I'm quite sick. Hopefully you can't hear it in my voice, but I am. So I'm a little bit dizzy and crazy, so we'll see how that goes. Okay, so the first thing we wanted to talk about, and I'm going to take this part because Karen's going to talk about her super special interview with Jeff that I wasn't invited to. I'm joking. We've both interviewed Jeff without the other there. It's fine. We have no hard feelings. It's all good. Season 5, we finished off one of our Twitter followers, Start a Frenzy, said, please discuss where the main relationships and friendships were at the end of Season 5A versus where they are at the end of 5B. So, okay. So how do you want to look at this? Like, I don't know. 5A was a really long time ago.
Yeah, I figured we'd kind of just talk about where they are at the end of 5B, because that kind of seems to be most relevant right now. I think this tweet was a discussion, because I asked on Twitter, like, what do you guys want us to talk about during the hiatus. And this discussion probably was supposed to be about 5A and or about season 5 as a whole and how they transitioned from one end to the other, which is a really cool idea. But I also thought it would be good to kind of remind us where everyone is at the end of 5B, because things sound like they're going to be changing in season 6, and it'll be good to have a little refresher. So we could still do a season 5, like, overall discussion, maybe its importance in the series, as part of the series, later on. But for right now, I figured just a little refresher would be good.
Yeah, cool. We can start with Scott, obviously. He is looking at going off to college. He's a relatively successful alpha now, as opposed to being broken apart into pieces like in 5A. So he's sort of at peace with a lot of things, I think, is the best way to put it for him.
Yeah.
You'd agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially now that the pack is together, he just seems really chill with everything. He's like, we'll figure it out. It's fine.
Yeah. And despite even despite the fact that he's taken his girlfriend off to the desert, you know, to go on like a spiritual quest with the skinwalkers for we don't know how long, years maybe, you know, they both seem to accept that this is something that has to happen. They're still together. You know, he takes her and kisses her goodbye, and it's a bit sad, but it's not that sad. Like, it's not as sad as that time when she left town and everyone cried in the rain. So I don't know, like, it didn't tonally feel that sad. I don't know.
It's not as sad as that time that his girlfriend died in his arms, so.
Oh, yeah, that too. I suppose there's that. you know, Scott's, yeah, he's got some perspective on, like, how to deal with sad, I suppose, so there's that. oh, God. Yeah, so how do you feel about Kira leaving? Like, do you think that she'll be back in season 6, or do you think she'll be gone for a long while?
I honestly do not know, because, I mean, I want her back. I definitely want her back. Even if she isn't with the team, I think it would be so cool to see her with the Skinwalkers, and just, I don't know how they could do that with just like, okay, you know, here's Kira's 15 minutes of the episode, and we go half a season like that. I don't think it would really work in the same way that, like, Teen Wolf is operating right now, which is why I'm a little worried that we might not see her in season 6. But I want to see her progress, because I think it's really interesting. She's an important character, and I'd hate to see her just kind of, like, go off and then come back. Or not even come back at all. I mean, who knows?
I mean, Derek was a really important character. He went off. He found spiritual enlightenment, went off, and didn't come back.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's precedence for being a little worried.
Yeah. I mean, we know the external factors about that, and we haven't heard anything like that for Arden Cho, but still. I don't know. Like, is it, you know, a summer and she'll be fixed, or, you know, she'll get to come back from the Skinwalkers for a little while to, like, help out with something or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, Styles. Styles is also sort of becoming a little bit more focused on, you know, life after high school, obviously. And we discussed in the finale that he sort of revealed, well, it wasn't revealed, it was kind of he was reflecting on, you know, what he's been doing for the past 3 years with his whole saving people thing. And, yeah, his dad's kind of like, so this situation appeals to you, you get something out of this. And he's like, yeah, actually. And he's like, and you want to do it again? He's like, yeah, actually. And so the, you know, sheriff is like, I think you should have a career in law enforcement. So yes, Styles might end up becoming, you know, police or a detective or something like that. That seems to be where they're going with him, and it's something that, you know, I'd say a good, like, half of the fandom has always predicted for him as well. So that's ended up, you know, that's where it seems like he's ending up, and he's also emotionally, again, the one that was really panicking at the beginning of season 5 about everything leaving and every, you know, everyone scattering and it not being the same, and he's sort of the one at the end of the season, you know, finale that has the very he's kind of talking about how he's not as scared anymore and how that they know that they'll always sort of come back to this no matter what happens. So that's one big aspect for him. He's still getting closer with Lydia, basically. And we still don't know what's happening there. We still don't know what's happening with Malia. You know, he was definitely used as bait to taunt Malia with the desert wolf, and yet no real sign of them being together. No real sign of him and Lydia being together either, but, you know, it's still that central trio of Scott, Stiles and Lydia does still seem to be the central focus of the show, if the symbolism of the last shot of them all together means anything.
Yes.
You're like, yes. any further thoughts on Stiles, Karen?
I mean, like you said, I really like that he's gotten to the point where he's not so worried about his friends anymore, because that was a driving factor in the beginning of 5A, and he had a lot of anxiety over it, which I definitely felt when I was in high school, and I like that he's kind of come to terms with it, and that, like, yeah, things are going to change, and maybe that's sort of setting us up for season 6, too. Like, things are going to change, you kind of just have to roll with it, and it doesn't mean that the changes are necessarily going to be bad. Might be good for individuals, even if it's not as good for the group staying together. But we'll just have to see. I mean, I'm glad where they've taken him so far this season, especially concerning Lydia and their friendship.
And she has sort of recovered well enough from her trauma, torture, whatever you want to call it, extreme horribleness. Of season 5B, she has more powers as a banshee. Like, she knows how to direct her powers in different ways. She knows how to use them to enhance her physical fighting, so she feels a bit less vulnerable being thrown into the mix. So that's good, I suppose. That's good for her. There's, as I've always said about Lydia, you know, things started to go a bit weird with Lydia at the end of season 1, and we're now at the end of season 5, however many episodes later, like, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 episodes later, and we still, like, she's still not finished yet, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, she's cookie dough, she's still baking, And so it's just, I think that character has endless potential, and it's not, you know, it's not yet feeling to me like, oh, we need a convenient thing to happen. Oh, we can just make that an extension of Lydia's powers. Nothing they've done has really felt like that to me. There's been a few things that I'm like, how does that work exactly? But it still feels like with the amount of time it takes them to tease out, you know, the powers of something supernatural that they don't know everything about, like, you know, like the Hellhound or like Lydia, it still feels like the development of not knowing what's going on, you know, in the space for her of only, you know, a couple of years is still pretty reasonable, and I kind of like that.
I could make a Charmed reference right now, but you wouldn't understand it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But I feel the same way. I mean,
you can make it anyway. You can make it anyway. Someone out there wants
to. With the powers developing and evolving and everything, like, there are some characters on Charmed where they get, like, secondary powers later on, and some of them really feel like a direct descendant of the original powers, whereas other ones, not so much. It's a little bit of a leap. But that being said, yeah, I feel the same way about Lydia, and again, just really, really happy that she has this skill of fighting in her back pocket now. Not that she necessarily needed it to be, like, a good character, but it's a great way to kind of get her in on the action. And I hope that season 6 brings a little bit more of that. This one saw her doing that, obviously, but it was kind of the beginning of those skills being fleshed out finally, which was really nice to see, but I'd like her to be as much part of the action as Scott is in season 6.
Malia, as we said, is not dating Styles anymore, as far as we know, despite the fact that, you know, I mean, they're all friends, they're all in the same pack, but the Desert Wolf definitely was like, oh, your little boyfriend, oh, I'm going to use him as bait, so don't know what that was about, but I don't think that they're together anymore. She also took the Desert Wolf's power, you know, before the Desert Wolf could kill her, so the claw thing, the Rave Wolf claws, did end up working for her. She's got the Desert Wolf's power, so I guess she's sort of stronger than she was in terms of being a were-coyote, whatever that means for her. I don't know what kind of things we'll see from that strength increasing, if it's just, like, you know, skill and speed, or if she can do other things. But she has that now, and the Desert Wolf is not necessarily dead, but she's, like, human? Is she, like, not supernatural at all?
I mean, she took her powers, so I guess no, she wouldn't be.
Or is it kind of like that she's, like, a beta? Like, was she, like, an alpha wolf and now she's not?
I would assume she's, like, human.
Interesting. Where was that when they wanted a cure for being a werewolf?
Well,
just get some other werewolf to take your werewolf powers away, you know? Because if they have those claws, that's, like, a quick fix for, like, people who legitimately don't want to be turned, who get turned, you know, and they're like, oh, you can just go back to being human and we can just make Scott a little bit stronger and it'll be, like, a good thing, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see what happens there. And Liam and Scott are back together, so that's nice. They're all happy families again. And Liam is, you know, he's there. He's dating Hayden. They're both in the pack together now. And, yeah, I don't know. Liam, there's been a lot of talk for, you know, what will happen with Liam in season 6. I don't think he was that – I don't think he played a huge part in season 5B. Like, he was there. And obviously he was tied into everything, but I don't feel like he was one of the most memorable parts, except when he had some funny parts. Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. He was important just because he's a part of the pack, so he's a piece of the puzzle that Scott had to put back together. Aside from that, I mean, if you look at Lydia, like, she ended up being way more important, which I'm not saying is a good thing or a bad thing. Like, there really is no comparison between those two characters because they have very different roles, especially in terms of being in the pack. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see something come out of Liam's role other than his relationship with Hayden. They've sort of fixed the issue that he had with his anger and, I mean, at least partially. I think that he's confronted it head on and that he's more aware of it than he is now. I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Yeah.
But I think that they've gone a long way to fix that or at least, like, remedy it for now. And his relationship with Scott is good. So I'd like to see something else for him in season 6.
Yeah. So him and Hayden are kind of like this dream team, yellow-eyed, you know, little miracles. They are together. Hayden, she's a werewolf now, a real one, because she was consensually made one by Scott. So the first time he's actually been like, do you want to be a werewolf? You know, you're a bit injured. You might not live. You might, but also you could be a werewolf. And she's good with that. She's already had the experience of being supernatural. It didn't go that great, but now she's a werewolf and it's worked out. Her and Liam are running around.
She's also had the experience of dying, and that didn't go that great either, so she thought she'd try something new.
Yeah, so she's tried on werewolf, and that's fit well, basically, and her and Liam are running around, you know, having fun as werewolves. So that's cute, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that he's ever going to have a full pack full of werewolves in the way that, I don't know, Derek used to and stuff like that. Like when we had, you know, 3 or 4 actual werewolves in a real, actual, traditional werewolf pack.
I mean, maybe. I think the pack feels pretty strong right now, but if things change, which we'll get to in a little bit because it sounds like they are, it could end up being more focused on the werewolves versus, like, all these other creatures and stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like if Scott ever rolls up to a werewolf convention with, like, all his pack, everyone's going to make fun of him because he doesn't have a real pack. Like, they're going to be like, like, you know, like, and he'll be like, hey, I'm a true alpha, my pack's better than anybody else's, and they're going to be all snobby at him for not being a real werewolf with a real werewolf pack.
And they won't let him play in any werewolf games.
Are you thinking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right now?
Yes.
Are you? Oh, God. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm sure someone could come up with a great parody song for that for our next Christmas episode.
Yes, we're working on it now, people.
Because, you know, we've only got, you know, 8 months, and then we could sing a song about Scott the, you know, red-eyed alpha.
It practically writes itself.
Okay. All right, so we'll move on from that. Mason is not the beast anymore. That's good. Like, the beast's spirit left him and dissolved into nothingness. And apparently he's dating Corey, which I don't approve of because I think Corey's a wimp. But aside from that, all is well. And he's okay, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't, like, 100% know that he's dating Corey. But clearly they were together in the end and Corey saved him. Biggest air quotes ever. Saved him.
Sorry, guys, but no. Like, I'm glad that we have a cute gay relationship in the show, but I don't have to like every gay character that's ever written, and I don't like Corey because I think that he is intrinsically wimpy. But actually, I mean, that could be interesting if he does become more of the pack, more in the pack. Like, not everyone is super brave and headstrong all of the time, and it's interesting to, it could be interesting if they actually explore it to see what a character that's maybe not as gung-ho is like, you know, in that circumstance. It's like, oh, just because you know about all this supernatural stuff doesn't mean you have to go all world-savey, you know, I'm just gonna hide. It was just, I don't know, somewhat annoying to me, but if that was something that they actually explored, that could be interesting. So, yeah. And Parrish is, you know, he's alive, he survived, he has a bit more control over the Hellhound, which is good as well. I'm still a bit confused about his death.
Yeah.
And whether he is this person or not. Like, whether he actually is Jordan Parrish, or if the person in his head is not him, if you know what I mean. I mean, he didn't know he was dead, so I think it is still him, but is it going to be like, kind of like, I don't know if you're watching Supergirl, but the thing with Hank Henshaw, or is it going to be like, you know, an Angel with Fred and Illyria, or is it going to be like, you know, is it actually Parrish? Did he die for real, or was that sort of just, oh, you would have died if I hadn't taken
That's
over your
how
body?
I'm looking at it. So, like, it's him, but without the Hellhound, he's dead. Like, once the Hellhound decides
he
to vacate the premises, then he's gone.
Yeah. Like, the Hellhound sort of kept him alive. He was like, oh, that's someone I can inhabit. But without that, if he hadn't come into him at that moment, he would have died. So that's where everyone is, basically. And, you know, Sheriff and Melissa are there, I guess, somewhere. You know, still doing their jobs, still putting up with these angry, bloody teens. So, yeah, do you want to go into what we have for season 6 so far from the first source that we have?
Primary source. Talked to Jeff himself. Got about 15 minutes with him, and asked as many questions as I could possibly fit in there.
We just, like, rapid fire. It's like, no time for pleasantries. Go.
There were a couple of pleasantries. Hi, how you doing? And then I was like, I have a lot of questions for you. And he was like, I'm sure you do. And then I started asking the questions. That's almost verbatim, actually, what was said. So, first thing is, I asked about the Desert Wolf because I was really curious, you know, how this was going to reflect on Malia in particular, but also what kind of things, but also if the Desert Wolf actually died, because we just saw her, like, knocked out at the end, and so I didn't think she was dead. And Jeff confirmed she's not dead. They really like Marisol Nichols, and they want her to come back. But she's got a pilot in the works at the CW called Riverdale, which is based on the Archie comics. And if that falls apart, then they'll ask her to come back. But if it goes through, more than likely we won't be seeing the Desert Wolf again. So we'll just have to see, I guess, how they wrap that up. Or if they're just like, yeah, she's in jail or something like that.
That show is going to be weird, by the way. I've seen more and more talk about Riverdale, and I know enough about Archie to know that that show is going to be quite odd. But, yeah, anyway, carry on.
Apparently she's going to be playing Veronica's mom. I don't know who anybody is, but...
Yeah, she does look like the girl they've cast as Veronica, like, same colouring, like, same... I don't know if same race, but same... They look like it could work, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
Good luck to her, but if not, please come back, because she was pretty great as the Desert Wolf. But then on the flip side of that whole thing, we have Malia, who apparently will have a lot more power and strength after taking her mother's powers, and we're going to see an example of this right off the bat in episode 601.
Okay, so I don't know what that is, but
yeah,
okay.
I mean... There were a lot of evasive answers, I'm not going to lie, but obviously they have to do that because they can't tell us everything. But
they were ready to start teasing, like, 601.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, actually, when we, at the top of the episode, because I feel like this upcoming season in particular, we already know so much more than we usually do. When we're anticipating the next season, maybe it's because there's probably only going to be a couple of months in between, and they're ready to just, like, they've already been filming for a little while, and they're ready to just kind of, like, get started, but I feel like between, like, as soon as the finale aired, all of these interviews came out. Our interview, TV Line had a great interview, a couple other places, and it was just like, here are a bunch of things that you can expect in season 6, and usually we don't get that much information the night of or the day after the finale for the previous season.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they filming it already?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It's not just pre-production, like, it's getting made right
yes.
now. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's going to air earlier than we think.
I'm anticipating June, just because that's when it usually comes
out.
And really, that's not that far away for them. So it's going to be a pretty quick turnaround. The next person I was curious about was Hayden and how she's going to fit into the pack. And Jeff said that they spent a lot of time discussing her arc in season 6. And they also asked the question, which... panics me a little bit. What's it like to be a werewolf when the alpha leaves? So, obviously, Scott's looking into going into college.
We have werewolves. We know of werewolves that are out there in the world who aren't with at least their quote-unquote biological alpha. Maybe they've joined another pack or something. But, like, Isaac and Jackson both, you know... I would love to know how they're doing in terms of, like, being a lone random werewolf. Do they count as Omegas? Like, oh, a werewolf without a pack, I'm a scapegoat, other people are going to gang up on me. Or are they just living as people who happen to be werewolves, you know, in their spare time?
I would assume that they're Omegas, technically. I think it might be different if your alpha is just, like, the next town over or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I never know, like, once you're supernatural, how much it takes over your life. Like, can you not just, like, if you know how to control your werewolf transitions, and, like, once you don't once you're not super susceptible to the full moon, like, oh, I'm out of control running around. Can't you just choose to, like, never transform and just go work at the bank and get a coffee and not actually get involved?
I mean, I guess you could.
Do you think either of those guys would have made that choice?
That's a good question. I think if one of them would, I think it would be Jackson.
Yeah, me too. Even though he wanted it, like, at the beginning when he was a teen, like, oh, in high school. I think by now, like, after what he's been through, he might have been like, ugh, this is just, like, an illness I have to live with now, you know, like, so, I don't know, interesting.
And going back to Kira, she is with the Skinwalkers, and Jeff, at this point, also said there are big changes in store for season 6, and that he just doesn't know if we'll be seeing Kira with the Skinwalkers at this point. So this makes me a little nervous, because it was with the question, when I asked about Kira, that he said we'll be seeing big changes. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Do you mean we won't be seeing Kira at all, or we won't be seeing them with the Skinwalkers? Like, she'll come back all healed, or what?
I mean, he really wasn't specific about it.
I don't know. It's hard to do a whole second plot based only around one character, like something that requires a whole different set and, like on-location filming or, like, whatever it would be. It's quite difficult to do that. Or probably quite expensive to do that based just around one character and not have it be, like, the A plot of the show. So, I don't know, unless it was, like, one episode where she was like, okay, bye, with them. I can't really imagine, like, cutting to her journey for, you know, 15 minutes of every episode. Like, I can't really picture that happening.
And we kind of technically already did this. Like, it's gonna feel repetitive if we have another episode centered around her being with the Skinwalkers. We've seen that. Like, obviously, I would hope that the outcome would be different, but because she failed the first time, but still, you don't want to make it repetitive.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if, like, she would just, like, show up every now and then with her Skinwalker gang to be like, hey, we'll help out, but then we got to go back to desert training, you know, if they came.
That would be
Beacon Hills
so cool,
or something.
Though, because I love the Skinwalkers.
I'm not sure.
Speaking of the Skinwalkers, somebody else's story who actually was tied to it, which we didn't realize until the end, was Theo. And Jeff said Theo isn't necessarily dead, that they loved...
What is it going to take to kill this guy? Like, he had his neck snapped, like, and it didn't kill him, like... And now he went down a hole, like, I don't know.
He said that they loved Cody Christian, too, would love to have him back. And then Jeff also said, quote, he went back down to hell or wherever it might be, which really interested me because it's like, okay, if he's in hell, like, are we going to see hell? If he's not in hell, where did he go? What does that mean?
Was it kind of like, oh, he went to, like, is it like, go to hell, Theo? Or was it like he was genuinely in hell?
It was kind of like, yeah, he went back to hell because that's, like, where he deserves to be, kind of. But it sounded like they hadn't really decided, you know, what they're going to do exactly.
I mean, I'd believe that he's not dead. He may just be tortured by some spiritual entity that thinks he deserves torture, but also, what is it going to take to kill him, and why is he so annoying? I mean, he was good at being annoying, but
yeah,
I hate him.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
There will be a 3-month time jump. And they will be in their second semester of the senior year as well.
Oh.
And this actually tied into my question about Mason, because I wanted to know if Mason would be dealing with the fact that he was a beast, or if there was going to be, like, a time jump and they kind of wouldn't explore that on screen. And Jeff actually said that one of their favorite things about Kylan and about Mason is that he's really funny and he has a really positive energy, and they wanted to bring that back to the show. So they might not show him struggling with being the Beast in order to bring that positivity back to the character, which part of me is like, oh, but I yeah. really want to see how he deals with it and like his relationship to Liam and how that will grow. And then the other part of me is like, yeah, but that's really sad and it would be nice to just see Mason again.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if they'd even time jump back to the school. Like, I thought they might time jump to after the school, but I suppose they need to have a sad graduation or something like that, like a, you know, an episode like that. But I thought they might jump to after that, especially given that they've moved stages, which we'll get to later in the episode.
And it sounds like just a lot of things behind the scenes on the show will be changing. For example, Jeff is taking a step back from the show. He talked about being very particular about every single process of the show, between, you know, every word that goes down on the pages of the script to the final shots and making sure that they're absolutely perfect in his mind. So it's just a lot for him, and he wants to take a step back and hopefully relax a little bit. And other people are stepping in, and he named a couple of people. By the way, this whole interview is on Hypeable, so you can go read it. We'll link to it in the show notes so you can see. But a couple people he named to kind of that are taking over is Lindsay Sturman, Mark Kruger, and Ross Maxwell. And Lindsay Sturman is the one who wrote Amplification, which we were very excited about. So I am pumped that she is going to be picking up, I don't want to say picking up the slack, picking up the mantle, I guess, and kind of taking on a larger role with the show.
Yeah. Does he mean that he's just going to try and limit himself for how, from how, like, obsessive-compulsive he is? Or, like, does he, like, mean, like, okay, I'm not coming in today, or, like, oh, I'm not having any involvement with this episode at all? Or, like, is he on, you know, is he in the room at the moment? Like, is he, do you know anything
he's
about that?
He's still there,
like,
right now. He said he hasn't had a chance to actually step back yet. But I guess, I think he's still going to be involved, but maybe not in the day-to-day processes, hopefully. Like, that's probably the ultimate goal.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
I hope he does, because he does work on this endlessly, and considering that he kind of was hoping season 5 would be the end, and then they gave him a season 6, and it was another 20 episodes, like, and the turnaround being so quick, I'm sure it's been crazy, a crazy transition between seasons, so maybe in a little while he'll be able to do that. But as always, I mean, Jeff is a proponent of, you know, people taking on different roles behind the scenes and always learning something new. And I guess lots of people are trying their hand at other jobs. Obviously, you know, Posey directing an episode, which will happen in 6B, is one of them. But other people, writers and editors and stuff, they're kind of, you know, trying things here and there. There's a lot of new people that he named were going to be taking on an episode and directing it. And I think that's really cool, because there have been some where we've noticed the change in directors. Like, you can just tell cinematically that it feels so different, and some of them have turned out fantastic, so that's exciting to me.
Yeah, no, I think that should be interesting. That's, you know, that's a while off, but if they've got it all planned out for 6A and B, then yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I asked him about final thoughts, last things he wanted to say before we wrapped up, he just repeated that there are big changes coming in season 6. And he also said it's a big season for both Scott and Lydia in terms of change.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's a bit more about Scott and a bit more about Lydia and a bit more about a couple of things in one of the other interviews that we looked at, which we've read since then, which was the one with TV Guide. So I'll talk about that one. So with this one, TV Guide, he also spoke to them. And in terms of change, one of the things that he said was that Lydia's feelings for Styles become a big focus of the season, which is interesting because we didn't know whether, you know, where that was going in season five. We were like, is this happening? Is this the world's biggest slow burn, or is this like people being delusional? So apparently it's very much addressed in the first episode of season six that it'll make some people furious and some people happy. What do you think that means? Do you think we'll get an actual answer of how she feels about him either way, and that something will happen and we'll just roll straight away with yes, they're together, or yes, they're not together?
From what I've heard, and I'm saying this, like, all the interviews that I've been reading, trying to come up with the material for this episode, and just the general feelings of, like, trying to piece things together with what everybody has been saying, I'm under the impression, which could definitely be wrong, that Lydia has clearly decided she likes Styles. Because I think right here, when it says, like, Lydia's feelings for Styles become a big focus of the season, that to me just sounds like Lydia's kind of decided, and now they need to figure out what to do with that. Because we don't know how big of a role Dylan is actually going to have in season six. Even if Lydia's feelings are out there, nothing's going to happen, at least in 6A, that maybe it'll just be like, okay, you know, this is the first half and we're deciding, yes, Lydia likes Styles. And then later, hopefully that'll, like, pay off. But I don't know if we're going to get all of that right away.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll get together in the finale of the entire show or something. I don't know. As for Scott having a lot of change, I mean, where we left them in end of season 5B, they were kind of at peace with, I guess, moving on and stuff like that. But in this interview, he did say that, you know, there's a lot of anxiety for the main characters about graduation. So they are still, you know, still going to have this hanging over their heads. He did say that he's not a fan of graduation scenes in TV, so maybe we won't have that, like, oh, we're graduating, there's a speech, you know, episode, which I could live without in Teen Wolf. I can't picture that happening in Teen Wolf at all for some reason.
They'll probably get attacked right in the middle of a speech, so it's better they just don't have one.
Yeah, we've got to save graduation.
I can't picture it at all. They'll be like walking down the hallway in their gowns to like some epic music on their way to graduation. To save the day.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'd be into it.
Yeah, it could happen. Anyway. The tank guy, the guy that was, you know, set free at the end of season 5B, the alleged Nazi werewolf that they've been living off the alpha juice from for however long, apparently he'll be lurking about in season 6, causing a lot of trouble, and it might allow them to do another flashback episode to that time period of World War II, which I really enjoyed, the Fox and the Wolf, Japanese internment camp episode, personally, me, Natalie, speaking. So I'd be into that. Like, I know some people didn't love it, but I really did. So, you know, do you think it could tie into that story at all, or just another World War II story, or what do you feel about going back in time and the Nazi werewolf?
I really love this idea. I mean, their flashback episodes tend to be something that we all look forward to. I know you did that really cool article ranking them and everything, and the flashback to the internment camps was definitely one of my favorites, too. And I think the quality of that one was particularly high. I don't know if it would tie into, like, the Kitsune story. Because Kitsune. I think, again, that's...
Well, World War II was a big event.
Yes, it was. And I think that's going to depend on a lot on where Kira is at that point. Like, I would assume if we're seeing a flashback, like, she'd kind, like, Arden would kind of have to be there. Maybe not, but I just have a feeling that it could be about something else entirely, which I would be into. I've studied a lot of World War II history, and it's definitely something that interests me greatly, and I'm really into the idea of them doing that.
Yeah, I'd be really interested in it. I think that World War II, that period, is a period that is relatively easy to get right, if you know what I mean. Like, there's architectures, you know, there's sets, there's buildings, you know, locations that you can very easily dress to be from that period, you know, and costuming, there's still a lot of very precise detail about what it was like. It's easy to recreate that if you wanted to make it good, as opposed to, you know, periods that are more remote that you might not have be that easy to actually make something feel real. So I feel like that could work. But the Nazi werewolf won't be the only threat, according to the TV Guide interview. There's a different mythology they're exploring for season 6, which is a pretty big one for them and technically very difficult. I assume he means technically as in, like, effects and, like, the actual technology of it. So any theories on what that could be?
No. I mean, there are two that I want, and I've talked about this endlessly, so they shouldn't be hard to guess, but anything that has to do with Native American lore and anything that has to do with Greek mythology. Although, hopefully, if they tackle it, they won't go down the Once Upon a Time road.
Oh, I'm furious about.
I just watched this week's episode right before doing this, and that was a bad idea because I have violence in my veins now, and I just want to punch things.
Wow.
It's bad, Nat. It's so bad. Karen. It's so bad.
The Hades and Hercules.
It's worse than that. Hades apparently is in love with the Wicked Witch.
I mean, that's not the weirdest thing I've heard about Once Upon
it's
a Time.
It's stupid.
But, okay.
So, anyway.
Okay, there's a lot of things that, on Once Upon a Time that are very stupid.
This is the biggest one, trust me. Anyway, stepping away from that. Yeah, so either one of those would be amazing, but then again, you know, how are they going to tie that into a possible arc for, I mean, is Tenkai going to be, even if he's not the only threat, is he going to be a threat for the entire season? If so, I would assume that the mythology would somehow tie back to him, and does that mean that we're going to be getting, like, Germanic mythology? I don't know exactly.
I don't know. They do say that it's going to be a ghost story, like, that they had with, you know, he said with season 5B, they said this is going to be a monster movie. With season 6, we had this very clear idea that it's going to be a ghost story. So I don't know if that's tied into the new mythology. He says it's a new mythology and a very different problem. But I don't know how much about ghosts is, like, technically not doable. Is it that they'd have to CGI ghosts or, like, stuff flying across the room? Because they've CGI'd weirder things,
yes.
But, you know, I don't know if that's the technical challenge, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Ghost story is kind of creepy.
Different. I mean, pretty different.
Have we had much with actual undead spirits? Like, we've had sort of the Kitsune situation in its history, but we hadn't much with, like, flat-out undead spirit?
Yeah, the Kitsune, the Nagitsune, and the Oni were the only ones really that had that same sort of vibe. Particularly the Oni, just because they felt like less of a physical presence than, like, the Nagitsune did, which was very much inside of Styles. But other than that, no. I mean, ghosts? Not really. Although,
yeah.
This would put Lydia at the forefront of the season if it was about spirits.
Yeah, we haven't really found out what the Banshee can do with normal dead people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, can she just talk to any dead person that she wants to? Like, we haven't learned about the actual death, just normal death for Banshees and what that is like. So, could be that. I don't know. And then, aside from that, also the idea of memory, that's sort of the theme, apparently, of next season is memory plays a big part in season 6. So God knows what that's meaning, if it's going to be like everyone's past traumas or who knows.
Yeah, I'm a little worried, not going to lie.
Yeah, don't like the sound of that.
I mean, between this and the ghost story idea and the mind control thing, which we'll get to, I'm not feeling awesome about the mentality of our heroes, their mental health. It's probably not going to be great.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty traumatic and something they need to be quite careful with, so I don't know.
Jumping into the next interview, which was from MTV. MTV caught up with Jeff and asked him to talk about six things that will that he can talk about in season six. And I've kind of just made bullet points of what he said. He didn't elaborate. It was a pretty short video, but gave us some interesting things to talk about, which the first one was, it has a great Lydia-style story. And he says, I think that'll make a lot of Stydia fans happy. So that's good. I mean, kind of in line with what we said before. This sounds less like, you know, it'll make some people happy, it'll make some people angry. Which, whenever you're talking about ships, like, somebody's not going to be happy.
Yeah. I don't know, what's the ratio, do you think, of, like, happy to angry? If Lydia and Styles are in love, like, what's the ratio of people who are pro that versus anti?
I would think, and I don't mean to, like, piss anybody off saying this, but I think there are more Stydia fans because...
than anything else.
Yeah, because then, like, I know there are a lot of people who like Parrish and Lydia, which is also a great dynamic. And there are definitely people who still like Malia and Styles, but in terms of longevity, Stydia fans have been around a lot longer. I mean, since season one. So it just kind of stands to reason that there's going to be more of them. But...
yeah,
I couldn't give you a ratio.
Could be.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And he also says they have a really cool new mythology, but he doesn't elaborate. But he does say that the new mythology involves three new characters, three new bad guys. And he says, I don't want to say too much, but they look really cool, and they're tall again. For some reason, we like really tall villains. I just like to think that he goes around walking, like, he just walks around, and he's like, man, tall people are so scary. Let's just keep making them villains, which makes me feel like a badass, because I'm pretty tall, so.
Yeah, when are you going to play a villain? You could have been a dread doctor.
I could have been. Oh, that would have been so cool, but.
Would it?
Yes.
You would have had to wear all that melty face makeup.
It would have been worth it. I'd like to be a villain. I don't think I could be a villain, though. Also, an actor. I'm not really an actor, so...
So, let's stop there.
Give me a mask, just like the Dread Doctors have, and don't take it off. And I just walk around looking scary. I could do that. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, this... All right, I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit, because the next two tie in together, but I want to say first... Liam will be accelerating toward the idea of becoming an alpha and possibly becoming the leader of the pack when Scott leaves. This was huge to me. Like, all of the sites that reported on this MTV interview were talking about, oh my gosh, it's going to be a Stydia season. And I was like, can we talk for a minute about Liam becoming an alpha when Scott leaves? Like, what does that mean?
An actual alpha or, like, just a commanding presence?
That's a good question. I could definitely see it as being, like, dude, I'm going off to college. I'm not going to be here all the time. You kind of got to, like, take over watching Beacon Hills while I'm gone, and I'll come back when I can, but I got to study. Like, and Liam's like, okay, and he just tries his best to become a leader, which is a really cool story, and I love the idea of it. It just worries me in terms of the
show.
Can
I just say, in the comics, that's exactly what happened when Bucky took over as Captain America. He never really wanted to do it. He was just like, oh, I gotta do this, and it was basically, like, everyone around him, like, helped, basically. Aww. Like, it was like... like, everyone propped him up into being Captain America. Like, he didn't have... in the comics, he doesn't have any he doesn't have any serum. And he's, like... so he was just, like, a guy with a metal arm who had to be Captain America because he was the only one who was allowed to be it emotionally, but he didn't have any real power. and it was just people, and it was like every other Avenger, like, propping him up at every turn. Not in a bad way, but, like, they knew that, symbolism-wise, it had to be him, but that he needed, like, a ton of help. And I really enjoy it, but it's also sad, so I don't know if Liam will be in that kind of situation.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I guess, like, it just worries me in terms of, like, where's the show going? Like, is this going to be a transition thing where the older characters are going to be kind of written out and then it's going to be the...
So it can remain Teen Wolf, not
right,
College
exactly.
Wolf, you mean?
And I don't know. Like, I would definitely rather see the show end before that happens, but at the same time, I also really like this idea of Liam taking on more of a leadership role, because like I said earlier, it would be nice to see him tackle something other than, oh my god, my girlfriend is dead, oh my god, my girlfriend hates me, oh my god, my girlfriend is now a werewolf too. I want him to tackle something bigger than that, and well, it looks like he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds pretty dramatic. I don't know, I wonder if it'll go well.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. The other thing that sounds like it's going to be terrible is, first, Jeff said something about, I can say that it causes a lot of pain, I think he's talking about the mythology and the villains, in Beacon Hills, and that Sheriff Selinsky's life will be thrown into turmoil. And then the last thing he says is something very big and very interesting happens to Stiles in the first episode. In my mind, these two things are linked, because why wouldn't they be?
So, here's what I'm getting. That some monster completely zaps all of Stiles' memories, that he is left an empty shell and put into a facility for real, and that Sheriff is like, oh my god, my son is ruined, and Lydia's like, oh my god, I loved you and now you're gone. Like, that, you know, that there's a reveal from her that she was in love with him, but that he is just, like, a vegetable, basically, because his mind has been sucked out by these memory things. And then he's not there for the rest of the episodes. Like, they don't cut to him just having, like, his little nothingness in the mental hospital. And they just come back to him at the end when they've got a solution,
yeah,
basically.
Which, like, not feeling awesome about it. But we also know that Dylan is pretty busy right now, among other things. Poor Dylan's face. We'll just...
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot about that.
How did you forget?
Yeah.
I had a panic attack when that news broke.
How? Well, I didn't realize until afterwards, but how bad...
We have no idea.
Did he break both of his arms?
No,
happened?
Apparently he just fell on his face. And potentially broke his cheekbone or something.
His
nose? Like, we don't know exactly. They aren't giving out specifics. But he's going to be fine.
Okay.
They're pausing production on Death Cure, the last Maze Runner movie, for like a couple of weeks. And it's...
Is it still paused?
Yeah.
Like, is he still in the hospital?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So,
ugh.
That was a thing that happened and basically made me worry the entire day. Because when they first broke the news, TMZ, blaming it all on TMZ, we thought he was, like, dying. And that it was happening as we speak. And that I was picturing Dylan in a full body cast. And turns out that is not what happened. It happened the day before. He was, like, out of the park by then. It was fine. It was, yeah. So, Dylan's okay. But he's still filming Death Cure, so, I mean, there's still going to be issues with timing and how much he can be on the Teen Wolf set versus how much he has to be on the movie set. So we just honestly do not know how big of a role he's going to have. But yeah, this makes it sound like if something very big and very interesting happens to Stiles in the first episode, it's going to have consequences throughout the rest of the season.
Like, big and interesting and
incapacitating. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he didn't say it, but I'm pretty sure that's what he meant.
Yeah. Okay. So the last bit of information we got was from the video preview of season 6, basically, which is not new footage exactly, but it is sort of, it's sort of stuff cut together to show symbolism for what's happening, basically. And I don't know how or who put the idea out there to reverse the video sound. Like, is this just something that, like, fans do? Or do you think that there's some, like, MTV mole out there with a Twitter being like, hey, guys, what if we reverse the video, like, pretending to be a fan? Anyway, they came up with the idea of reversing the video. When you do that, the voices in the background whisper mind control, which is fun. All of the footage in it is old except this one of a guy on a horse, which I'm pretty sure there's never been horses in Teen Wolf before, except for with Sebastian and Marcel, the lovers,
yes.
Obviously.
Well, that's why,
so,
I was like, wait, is that from the flashback episode or is that from something else? And I couldn't get the player to work properly, and I watched the beginning of the episode and didn't see anything, but if anybody knows, like, for sure, please let me know, because it's driving me nuts. I cannot place the guy on the horse, and I'm just going to go with that it's new footage.
I don't remember, like, he kind of has, like, a cowboy-type hat. I don't remember anyone like that, like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. In terms of what he looks like, I just always think of, like, either the Headless Horseman or the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Neither of which I really think Teen Wolf is going to tackle, especially because there's supposed to be three new villains. So how do you have four horsemen? But, yeah, it definitely gives you a certain... This was supposed to be a clue to the mythology, and I don't know if the clue is mind control or if the clue is the guy on the horse. But either way, I cannot figure out what it is.
Well, some images are reversed. They use kind of sound and editing, and they flip pictures and stuff to kind of make it look like, I don't know, creepy. Like, but Styles looks like he's disappearing. So my theory, you know, the theory about his whole brain getting sucked out and him becoming an empty shell is, you know, pretty relevant.
It did seem to focus on Styles quite a bit, with him, like, yeah, disappearing, and then his hand kind of coming away from Lydia's. And, of course, that was all reversed footage, but clearly that was the way that we were supposed to look at it. Because when you actually reverse the video, you hear mind control, but the rest of the stuff doesn't necessarily make sense. I mean, he comes in rather than goes away, but I don't think that's how we're supposed to interpret it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so it looks fun, I guess. nice. I don't know, do you think if they did kind of, if something did take Styles out, would, do you think it would be just mind, or do you think he would be, like, sucked into a hole like Theo?
I mean, it sounds like a lot of what we've seen so far is kind of concentrating on the mental health of everybody. If it's about memories, if it's about mind control, if it's a ghost story, which kind of invokes memories in my mind too, if they're seeing, like, ghosts of people they know or people that are tied to, like, history or something like that. I would think that it kind of, like, puts him in a hospital bed in a coma or something like that, which is not awesome.
Yeah, karma could be interesting. Yeah.
Ew. And yeah. One more big piece of season 6 news is that we have a new cast member, Pete Plazek. I'm not sure how to say his name, but he's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He voices Leonardo and in the new movies, which is kind of cool just because I like the Ninja Turtles. Long live Donatello, though. He's my fave. Anyway, he will play Mr. Garrett Douglas, a charming, handsome, young new teacher, the kind everyone has a crush on, which immediately makes me think he's evil.
Yeah, I mean, probably. And he's, like, blonde. Like, all blonde, spiky-haired men in this show
are
evil.
And I'm like, okay, does this maybe tie in with Tank Guy? We don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, is this the only casting they've announced? Because, like, you know, they tend to announce, like, 15 weirdly not that relevant people.
This is the biggest one. I haven't necessarily come across anymore, though some of them kind of slip under my radar because they're not huge announcements. So I haven't personally seen anything else, but that doesn't mean it's not out there. I think if like someone else huge was cast, we would know.
Yeah, probably. No idea how relevant he's going to be, but there it is, I suppose.
Yeah.
So a little bit about what we know directly from the set is that they are moving stages, basically a few things directly from the set. They're not going to be at their old set where they used to be, which was like an office building where they did their production with a big, you know, garages out the back that was the sound stages. So they've got a new set. We don't know where it is or what it's going to be like or anything like that. So the old factory that they used to have, because one thing about Teen Wolf is that it was never in a lot. It was never like, oh, Glee or like, you know, whatever other show. I've only been to Glee, so I don't know. But a lot of shows like film in a production studio. And it doesn't have to be the production studio of the show that they belong to, like of the network they belong to. They just rent space on a studio which has sound stages, and they rent, okay, we've got 4 sound stages and 2 offices on this show, you know, like and on this lot. But they never had that. They always had an independent, you know, factory that they used as a lot. They weren't part of a bigger sound stage. So they've never done that. I don't know if they're moving to a soundstage that is as part of a bigger lot or if they're moving to another private one, but they are moving away from the one that they've had, I guess, from season 2 onwards or something like that, the one that we visited a couple of times. So I don't know. How does that make you feel,
really,
Karen?
Sad, actually. Seeing Will posted a couple of pictures of just, like, the empty lots in the empty office building, and it was really sad because we'd only gone there twice, but the first time we went, it was as a group, and that was the first time all of us were together and meeting each other in the first place. And so, like, it's hugely significant in our minds, and I think that was so exciting to be able to go visit the set, and everyone was so welcoming of us, and we had a great time. And I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter because it's, you know, wherever they go, it's still going to be the Teen Wolf set, but it just kind of sticks with you.
Well, there's also a lot of external parts of that building that they use for filming that I don't know if they're going to, you know, if either go back to that building specifically to film those parts or if they're going to recreate them, like rebuild them, or anything like that. Because, for example, Glee, their very first episode, they filmed the auditorium, like the McKinley Auditorium, in a real school auditorium. They then went and recreated that exact auditorium in a soundstage. So they have that, or they had that set, you know, where they did all of their numbers, like the McKinley Auditorium. That was from a real place, but they rebuilt it exactly so that they didn't have to keep using this auditorium as continuity, like to have the same auditorium over and over again, because they use it so often. There's a few places on that old lot that the external parts of the building, or even the internal parts of the building, are used not as part of a set, like they're not like in a box, you know, like built with, you know, external walls. They are the actual building. So I don't know if they're going to recreate that, like if they might recreate the hospital corridors, like in that's part of the actual building, not in a set. And the external front steps of the building is the external entrance to the hospital as well. So I don't know if they're going to go back there to do that or avoid using that set, like avoid using something.
I was wondering about this a lot too, because you have like the back of the vet's office, which they've used a ton of times in the show. Are they going to recreate that? I don't really know. And then we've seen, like, it's easy once you've been there to kind of pick out, like, oh, this is, they're reusing this part of the building for these like 3 different sets. it makes me wonder, like, okay, they talked about big changes. Like, are we not going to see these things anymore? Are we going to move on? Is that why they felt like it was the time to move to somewhere else? Are we going to be getting a whole bunch of different new sets? Which I would not hate. Like, that would be pretty cool.
Well, that's why I thought they might skip to after school, because they don't, like, okay, like, the external of the school, like, a few of the externals of the school are, like, outdoor areas there that are, like, the, you know, grass alongside a footpath corridor where they, like, put lunch tables and stuff. So I really don't know if they would, you know, recreate that exactly, or just be like, oh, we're sitting in a new place for lunch today or something like that, you know, like, if they'd avoid using the stuff that is so location-specific. Or if it's going to be like, oh, no, the school burnt down, we have to build another one, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they could pretty much say anything. That would be interesting, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Will is on Twitter now, as opposed to when he wasn't. and he... Just, what?
I mean, that is true. That was a truth that you just said.
Yeah. At once, Will did not have Twitter, and now he does. He's going pretty hard. He likes to talk to people. So he's posted some pictures there. He's also revealed that he is writing 603 of season 6. And yeah, who knows what will happen there. More than that, he can't really say. But yeah, that's happening, and he wants to come back on the podcast and talk about it because he's a nerd.
Yeah, but it's pretty great to know that somebody from Teen Wolf likes us as much as we like them.
Yeah, that their first thought when posting, like, oh, I'm writing this, can't get to wait to get back on the podcast and talk about it. It's like, calm down, Will. You have a real job now. Like, focus. But
it's really nice. We're really thankful. Will is great. Obviously, you know, he doesn't give us insider secrets, but he tells us as much as he can and gives us a really cool perspective on what it's like to work on the show. So that's always fun. And our listeners love him. Like, I've heard nothing but positive feedback about him.
When is he coming back on the show?
It's pretty great.
We can make him a regular, like, you know, you can replace me with Will if you really want. Like,
that would be so like, sad.
I don't know, it might be better for time zones.
I would miss you, though.
Well, I don't know. He's an interesting character, and he's, very loyal to us, and I don't know, something about us appeals to him as a nerd, so... There we go.
It's our mutual appreciation for Kira.
So he's on Twitter if you want to follow him and ask him about anything about the show. But he's out there sharing the love that used to be ours exclusively. So I'm not bitter about that or anything. But speaking of writers on Twitter, I just wanted to add this, that I had a conversation with Angela Harvey, one of the other writers on Twitter, about Marcel and Sebastian being in love.
Really? No,
did you
see this? Tell me everything.
Yeah. I was like, come on, this is what was going on, right? And she's like, there was a lot of discussion in the room about this. From my perspective, what you are saying is 100% correct. And I was like, okay. So, I don't know, clearly some people didn't come down on the side of that, and, like, maybe that's why they didn't make it explicit. But I was like, the fact that he did this, the fact that he, like, covered up, like, tried to cover up, and he was like, there's no, and that he, like, did it all for you, there's no reason. He's like, she's like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Like, so she completely read that the same way, whether she was involved in the story or not. So it was discussed in the room, and at least some of the writers came down on the side of that was definitely what was going on.
Well,
so
we're making this statement,
I like that.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's got our stamp of approval for whatever that's worth. So yes, we will have Will on again, hopefully soon, actually. We just have to coordinate, and we will be talking definitely about the Skinwalkers, because he's already said he wants to discuss them, and, you know, among other things. So get your questions brewing, and we will make sure to ask him about that and about season 6 and what he can reveal for that, and we'll just kind of see what comes up. But should we tackle some feedback now?
All right, so we've got a few tweets here just about, I guess, what's coming up in season 6 or what people would like to see in season 6. The first one, the people want to know, we had Chan Chan FH said, if Cody Christian is coming back as Theo and if he has drastically changed more towards neutral slash broken rather than plain evil, I don't know, do you think Theo is, like, worth redeeming or, like, coming back in kind of a neutered kind of, like, I've been tortured in hell and now I'm just useless and here way?
I'm definitely of two minds here because on the one hand, he was really great at being a jerk. But on the other hand, if you were to bring him back, how would you continue his arc? Like, he'd either have to get a lot more evil or he would have to get better. And I think that it's always interesting seeing Scott and Styles in particular because they come at life, you know, with completely opposite perspectives, how they would deal with Theo coming back and being in their lives again. You know, I think Scott would definitely give him a second chance, but be, I guess, hesitant about it. Whereas Styles, I think, would just write him off immediately. And it would be cool to see, you know, how they treated that and then, of course, what actually would end up happening with Theo. If he's going down to hell or wherever he is, I don't imagine that would, like, do wonders for you. Like, I think that you would probably get worse, but who knows? Who knows?
Like, he might, you know, I don't know, it might make him realize the error of his ways. I still want to know about his creepy slave parents, yes. Guys. I'm not going to let that one go. Like, what the was that? Like, I still need to know what's going on there.
Agreed. The next one is from BanshiBait1, who says, would Liam be a leader but not an alpha? Would Deaton step up and be a more active advisor? Would Duke be the hairy godfather? And she has a little wolf emoji, which was great. Yes, please, let Deucalion be the hairy godfather.
Yes, I'm into hairy godfather and the, like, leader, but not. I don't think his eyes are automatically going to go red, you know, like, I think it's going to be like, okay, so you've got to watch out for us and, you know, while I don't have my red eyes here keeping, you know, a red eye on everything. I think that that sounds about accurate. I would be interested in the hairy godfather.
Yeah, I mean, Liam being more of a leader, not an alpha, makes sense to me. I'm not sure if that's something that you can just freely give without there being some sort of, like, violence there. Of course, Scott being the true alpha, he didn't get his through violence to begin with, so it would make sense that maybe he'd be able to transfer it. But I think Scott's always going to be the alpha. Like, Liam, even if he becomes the leader, if Scott were to return, he's always going to defer to Scott. So I would like him to kind of be the leader without, yeah, having his eyes change without him actually becoming an alpha in the strictest sense of the word, which is another way that Scott's pack will be different. And that dynamic has always been really interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Liam the right choice for that? Like, who else would you kind of...
I mean,
I suppose there are, all of the others are like, it's like Styles and Lydia and Malia, I guess they're all seniors, so they might all be leaving.
I would say in terms of power, other than Malia, Liam is the best suited for that. In terms of leadership qualities, I would say probably Lydia, but I don't really see her being the leader either. And like you said, they might be leaving too.
And sticking around, like, they're all, most of them are of Scott's age or whatever.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think there really is anybody other than Liam at this point.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
What about,
like, is he going to amass a little young pack of younger little supernatural
babies? What would you call them?
Babies?
They'd be like Liam's betas. They would be Scott's What's a beta's beta?
I don't know, like your second beta? Like you have your cousins and then you have your second cousins?
Seems legit.
I don't know, like, you know, first beta once removed or something?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they've all kind of been once removed, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think about Deaton?
You know what I think about Deaton. That's
all
I'll say.
Do you think he's going to be more helpful?
No! He loves Scott, allegedly, and he's barely helpful to Scott, so why would he be helpful to anyone else? Like, sorry, true. But come on. Like, I'd much rather Deucalion be, because he's like, he doesn't play, like, at least.
Oh, man, they gave us that little taste of good Deucalion at the end there, and, like, when the truth came out and everything.
Not enough!
And I just need it.
It was everything I'd been dreaming.
I need it, like, all season long now. Please just bring him back.
Anyway, so Sharon Folmer wants to know maybe where Peter went, because the last time we saw him, he was sharing a cell with Valak at Icon House. I know, I know. Look, again, I feel like his presence in the show is quite dependent on the actor and the relationship, like, you know, with, you know, getting hired for the show or whatever, like, you know, or doing other work. Like, I feel like that it's, I don't know. I would like Peter to be around as the, you know, grumpy semi-antagonist the whole time. I've always enjoyed it, even though he's gross. But I guess he's still in the mental hospital or a mental hospital, possibly. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they sedated him.
He's
and
a character.
Him in a room.
He's a character that could come back at any time and they could make it make sense, I think. Any of the Hales, I feel like that about. I feel like any Hale, because I still feel like this story starts and ends with the Hales. I mean, it starts with Scott, obviously, finding, you know, becoming a werewolf, but again, that was Peter. I feel like, you know, Peter is Scott's alpha, in a way, still. And I feel like any of the Hales could come into this story at any time, and it would still primarily be their story. So I'm always good for a Hale to come
plus,
back.
So much of the lore of Beacon Hills comes from the Hales. You've got so much backstory there. And even the Hales that are gone, they can bring back in flashbacks, and it would make a lot of sense. And I think in the same way,
it never doesn't.
The Argents are so threaded throughout the series. The Hales are too, and I just, I would love to see them return. Any of them.
Yeah. Pretty much. Me too.
Well, that pretty much wraps up the episode, but I wanted to throw out there, like, if there's anything else, listeners, that you want us to discuss during the hiatus, it's probably not going to be a super long hiatus. We're aiming to put out one episode every 2 weeks, roughly, depending on if our schedules can match up and everything. But if you've got any ideas for episodes, for topics that you want us to discuss, let us know, especially on Twitter. I think Nat and I kind of troll that a little bit more than Tumblr. And, and we'll come up with a list and we'll try to see what we can do. We've got some pretty big things planned, but we're not going to say anything because we have no idea if it's actually going to happen.
Keep dreaming. But, yeah, we'll see what we can come up with on our own, but please feel free to let us know what kind of things you'd like, whether it's, like, a funny or a fun episode or something about, I don't know, whatever it is that you feel like that we should tackle.
We've even done things that are, like, barely related to Teen Wolf, so, you know.
Would you like to hear our take on Captain America Civil War? Because we could probably do that. We could probably do that. Karen's like, I'm so stressed. We've done some fun stuff and we've done some, you know, mythology stuff and all sorts. So have a think about what you like when it comes to hiatus episodes, and we'll give it a go, I suppose. We'll obviously have, you know, Comic-Con eventually. I think the show will already be airing by the time that happens, probably. Maybe. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon, I hope, I think. All right. So until then, yeah, we will say bye-bye, I suppose, and see you later. And thank you for hanging out with us. So enjoy your hiatus from Teen Wolf, I suppose. So bye-bye. Well, I seem like it's